Questions?
I was going to say, like in verse 17 says, do not suffer a witch to live. In the book of Acts, there was different times when the apostles confronted witches, occult people, like Simon the sorcerer.
In Acts 16, there was a gal who was going around saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. What she was saying sounded good, but she was right. Disruptive.
But it didn't say they arose and smote her till she died.
No.
And Simon, they didn't kill him.
Right.
I mean, Peter didn't say, may your money perish with you. And he said, pray to the Lord for me that this doesn't happen. I believe that he may have sincerely repented. I hope, you know, it doesn't say. And then there was like Bar Jesus, who was a sorcerer, and Paul didn't kill him, but struck him blind. And it just seems to me that in the book of Acts, well, and even to this present day, that we are in a different dispensation, that it's not really our job to go kill witches.
It's your job. We appoint you.
I have a pencil, but you know, maybe a pocket knife, but I don't want to do that job. I mean, to me, it seems like if someone is a witch, it's important to pray for their salvation more than anything. That back then, I guess the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out yet. And so they didn't have opportunity to really repent of their sorceries.
Well, the reason was that when God gave these laws, there were government authorities that because the Torah teaches due process. Mm-hmm. In Acts, the apostles lived under the rule of Rome. And so there was no authority, there was no government authority that to carry out these sentences. Mm. So, that's true now. We don't have, the United States law does not ban witchcraft. As a matter of fact, Wicca is protected, under the First Amendment. But in God's theocracy, there was a legal authority that had the authority to carry out a sentence like that. But in Acts, that was not the case.
But it just seems to me that since we are believers with the Holy Spirit. That it's more important for witches to be converted, saved, delivered, transformed from the life of darkness to living for Jesus.
Well, yeah, but, that was true back then. I mean, not everybody who practiced those kinds of things. There isn't anything that says that the witch of Endor, for instance, to whom Saul went, was killed. Now, Saul had removed witches and sorceresses and so on from the land, and it describes that. But there was one that had escaped, and he went to her because of his evil. There were no prophets anymore to counsel him. So he went to a witch, a witch who had survived Saul's previous purges. Saul was king for about 32 years, and during that time, he had removed most of the witches. There isn't anything in the text that implies that the witch of Endor was then executed. Matter of fact, she served him dinner. She saw the power of God. So it's very, very possible that she also repented. Not everybody who ran afoul of God's law experienced the penalty. I mean, when David killed Uriah and committed adultery with Bathsheba, he was not killed because he repented, and God forgave him. It's also important to bear in mind that even though the Spirit of God fell in Acts 2, the Spirit of God was around. As a matter of fact, that is implied in that's implied back in verse 7, that if the thief is not found, then the master of the house is to present himself to God to see whether he has laid his hand on his neighbor's goods. To whom did they go? The Spirit of God. You know, so the Spirit of God was present in the days of Moses and David, all those guys. Some aspects of the Spirit of God hadn't been revealed yet, like they were after Acts 2. But the Spirit of God was around, and you know, there were people who repented of these very gross sins, and they were forgiven. Yeah.
Comment that question as far as Acts. One thing, as far as lovey-dovey.
Well, I'm not saying being lovey-dovey, but I'm saying,
I've heard some people talk about the constant hurrah of the dog. Lucifer struck two people dead.
Yeah.
Ananias and some
fire.
That's true.
Struck well, that, dead that's on the spot. True.
Yeah.
And then Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 3 and 5 about the one sleeping with his
stepmother, probably, yeah, or mother-in-law.
And the hammer drops.
Yeah, yeah.
But earlier in this chapter, you talk about the civil laws that, you know, if a cow and the da-da-da-da. Are those mandatory? Can I just say, hey, it's cool, I forgive you? Or does it have to be done?
The master could forgive it, yeah, sure. Yeah.
And just say, hey, it's cool, it happens.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So
he could.
You shall.
No, he didn't have to. He had the right to, you know, but he didn't have to exercise that right. Yeah.
So,
yeah, Leslie. So,
when you know, this woman goes from healing to theology to Christianity, and then you get to Spurgeon, so how does it, you know, when you're dealing in society in general, and everyone says, but now we're in grace, so nothing counts. You know, live, let live, have, do whatever you want to do. You know, so how do you address it in modern day? I mean, I know that, you know, a lot of this is really different. I mean, even though it is, I mean, you wouldn't, it may not be a cow today, it may be whatever.
And car.
So even to the point where, when we were talking about, and I'm just not talking about homosexuality in general, but, you know, that's like the modern, like, there is nothing defined now. We have like 1,000 different sexes that people are, you know? And then I even heard on TV, you know, someone asked a candidate, you know, about their sexuality, and he said, you know, I don't even address that. He said, you know, if someone wants to talk to me about it, they need to go to my creator.
Buddha judge?
Yes. Yeah. And so it's like, you go to my creator. So are we not to address any of these ills in society? And we're supposed to say, okay, you know, turn to the New Testament. We're now on grace. And whatever society throws at us, we just need to pray for people. No. Never tell someone that, you know, this is not what God would have you do. Never, you know, say, no, this is not a God. And just live and let live.
You know, as a matter of fact, I had dinner with someone last night. Matter of fact, he made the guy actually made a comment we are responsible for this. We don't have to just say live and let live. There is this mistaken idea. You know, there are those people who say, well, the Old Testament God is a God of law, you know, but the New Testament God is a God of love. Well, you know, God's not schizophrenic. I mean, he's the same God. You know, God loved people in the old, and he laid down the law in the new, and hence Ananias and Sapphira, you know, were struck dead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do not plan to vote, and I couldn't vote for that candidate who was openly almost sexual. I can't. The society around us allows all kinds of stuff, you know, and so you know, but that doesn't mean that I have to accept it, you know. My power to deal with it is to present it in prayer, and I also know that if our society does not repent and turn from that, you know, God will judge us. And you know, the fact is that the New Testament is as strong about that issue as the Old is, because God is the same. So you know, no, we do not have to say, you know, that it's acceptable. You know, there are all kinds of stuff that that our society, our culture, winks at that violates God's heart, both in the old and the new. So you know, that's your question is great, and no, we do not have to accept it. God does not accept it.
There you go.
God does not accept it. That's why we don't have to, because God doesn't accept it. And if you read Revelation, you know, you find that God's very strong about it, man will do all kinds of stuff, and God is going to judge. He allows mankind time to repent. He always did. He in the days of Noah, God allowed mankind 120 years to repent. He extended, in his grace, he extended mankind time to repent. But when he didn't, God sent the flood. God gave the people of Canaan 400 years to repent of the things that we talked about in Deuteronomy 18. He gave them 400 years. They did not repent, and then God turned Israel loose, and you know, the destruction of Jericho, the destruction of Ai, the destruction of the Canaanites took place. God does judge sin, and if we do not repent of ours, God will judge us too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
As a matter of fact, somebody said when I was in high school, I think it was, he said that if God doesn't judge the sin in the United States, his moral code would call him to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize. You know, because you know, a lot of stuff that we do is as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah. And if God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, he will judge us.
Yeah.
So.
No, go ahead. I've already said something.
Yeah, Francis.
In Ezekiel, I was trying to find it, and I didn't want to paraphrase it, but you have to warn them of their wicked ways.
33rd chapter.
If you don't, the blood's on you.
Yeah.
And if you do and they don't change, then the iniquity is on them.
Yeah.
You save their soul. Trying to save their soul.
Yeah. Yeah, that Ezekiel 33.
That's 3, Ezekiel 3:16 through maybe 20. It's a pretty good section to read.
Ezekiel what?
Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16 through 20-ish.
Yeah, he does it in chapter 33, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And repentance is a change, not only change of mind, but also a change of heart, too.
Yeah, change of behavior.
If your heart doesn't follow
being a watchman,
the behavior, are you really a repentant?
No. Yeah. No. Yeah.
And that's the Holy Spirit's job, right?
And I see it seems like they're trying to live in two believers today. I like what Washington Nee said. He said salvation is actually the act of being taken out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of his dear son. That is actual salvation. To be renewed from the kingdom. And from what I see, it just seems like the believers are trying to serve two kingdoms. We're to be light, we're to be salt. But I don't see where we're to change this kingdom.
Well,
we're to be light and we're to speak out. I'm not saying we're to be silent. But I'm amazed it's not worse than it is already.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there is, you know, the Messiah told us to be salt and light. You know, and Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, which is where he refers to the guy who was sleeping with his stepmother, or mother-in-law. The scholars debate what the relationship was, but you know, in that chapter he says we're in the world but not of the world. You know, and the fact is, we have an effect. We do not have, you know, in response to the question that Kevin asked before, we don't have the governing authority to carry out the sentences. And there are people, for instance, who have shot. Who've gone and shot abortion doctors, thinking God told them to do that. God tells us to obey the law. We don't have the legal authority to go do stuff like that.
We're ambassadors. We're sojourners. This isn't our homeland.
Exactly.
Yeah, but
it's not our kingdom.
Exactly.
But we do speak and we do participate, and there are believers, you know, who are in places of authority. While we don't run the world, we have a voice in it.
Tikkun Olam only goes so far.
Right. Pardon?
Tikkun Olam only goes so far. You're not going to fix this world.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, the Constitution of the United States, a lot of those laws, you know, a lot of the provisions of the Constitution were because of Bible-based believers who were able to strongly speak into the framing of the Constitution. You know, I mean, there were people who weren't. Jefferson, for instance, was some sort of deist, you know, but Madison, for instance, was a strong believer. Adams was, so was John Adams. And so they had a strong voice in the framing of the Constitution, and that reflects their strong biblical base, carried a lot of weight into the framing of the Constitution. Franklin was not a believer. Jefferson was not.
But it's still the world.
Yeah.
And yeah. The world that says that those that are friends with it are God's enemy.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you know,
it
is a mixed bag. I mean, the guy, I'm trying to remember his name. His name began with W. The guy who pushed for the abolition of slavery in Britain,
Wilberforce.
Yeah. Strong believer, and because of his strong faith, he was able to get a voice You know, and the result was the end of slavery through the British Empire, and it certainly played a major role in the ending of slavery in the United States. So many people were influenced. So it's not all one sided. We still have a voice.
Yes.
Our culture today pays less attention to that voice than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a voice.
Yeah.
Because
even the Apostle Paul made mention a few times that I'm a Roman citizen.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he was a citizen of God's kingdom, but he was also a Roman citizen.
Well, in court, he was on trial, mm-hmm. he said, "I appeal to Rome."
Uh-huh.
You know, he said.
Well, no one does. He tries to tell people in the birthplace of American democracy, so to speak, he's going throughout the entire Roman Empire, the Greco-Roman Empire, and not once do you hear him talk about getting involved in the government. Not once.
Well, he was involved in government by saying he's a citizen.
No, he just exercised the right. I have rights, I'll exercise. But nowhere does he advocate that they had the right to vote in India.
Well, limited. Limited. You could only be a member of the government if you were from a certain protected class. There was only a certain aristocracy that had access to the government. Paul appealed to it, and he certainly would tweak the noses of government officials.
If you give someone a glass, if you say Godspeed, you're healed. I'm looking at recent history, things I voted for, things other people vote for, you vote for all these leaders, you look at them all. If just saying Godspeed makes you guilty, what about the support of people that have done the things that we've seen done?
No.
What's the difference? I support the people of God.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God and his children. I'm not talking about the world. I don't care.
Okay. We'll close, but let me just close with this. Romans 13 says the government authority is a minister of God to you for good. Then often in Paul's day they were pagans. You know, I mean, he was talking of people who sacrificed to Caesar, they sacrificed to Zeus, they sacrificed to Mercury, and Pluto, and you know. Yeah, so, you know, but still, they were in a position of authority. And Paul was able, it's a matter of history, that Paul was able to spread the good news, because Rome maintained an order, they built roads and so on, and Paul was able to travel around because of the provision that was made by the government of Rome. So, you know, he took advantage of that. It's okay.
No problem.
Let's close in prayer. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, we come to you in Yeshua's name. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. And Lord, we pray in Messiah's name that you will help us, Lord God. Lord, this is a tough issue. We are in the world, but we're not of the world.
That's right.
And so, Lord God, there is a mix. Show us how to live being in the world, and Lord, help us to temper that with the fact that we're not of the world, Lord God. And so, thank you, Lord God. We believe you can give us wisdom to know how to deal with all that.
Yeah.
We pray these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, bye-bye, Jeff.